There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree. There's no power like His power. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that
God, Spirit of the living God. in on every word. Would you open our hearts, Father, to receive everything, everything that we need. Thank you, Jesus.
And how great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows.
Lord Jesus, we praise you today. You are our living Lord today. We worship and honor and glorify you today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done for us, O Lord, for all that you're doing right now, and for all that you have promised to do in the days to come, Lord. Jesus, you are our living hope. We thank you for dying on the cross to pay the price, for us to be forgiven, for our sins to be washed away, for our lives to be changed. Thank you for rising from the dead to seal the deal, O Lord, and to declare us justified and right with God. Thank you for bringing us into the family and pouring out your favor upon us, Lord. Thank you for daily benefits and daily blessings that we enjoy as the people of God. Thank you, Lord, for the security and just the sense of well-being that we have in you today, Lord. You are our Father, O God, and Jesus, you're our Lord. Holy Spirit, you are our helper today. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of being in the family of God right now. And thank you, Lord, for the family of God gathered here in the sanctuary this morning, Lord, for every person here today, for those who may be watching us today and joining us online. Thank you for everyone who's joining us today. We pray your blessing upon your people as we worship you and praise you together and experience the working of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We love you, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to celebrate Holy Communion together, we are reminded that the work of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit unites us together as the family of God, as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul says, as we're gathered together to receive communion, that we are called to discern the Lord's body, to understand that this is, we are together. Now, the body of Christ is extended around the world today, but here we are gathered as a piece of the body of Christ, right here in this sanctuary, and as brothers and sisters in Christ today, we are called to recognize one another and to be grateful for one another. Not only to thank God for Jesus and our salvation, to thank the Lord for what he's done for me, but to thank the Lord for what he's done for you and you and you and you, and how he's brought us together and how he's given us the promise that we will be able to live together forever in his presence. We serve a good God with a good plan for our lives. Amen. So I encourage you to take the communion elements right now. And if you did not receive the elements as you came in to the service this morning, slip up your hand. We'll bring them to you right now. If you need communion elements, just hold your hand up for just a moment, please. And we'll make our way to you today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Been served today? The Apostle Paul wrote these words, I received from the Lord what also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat, this is my body given for you. We know that Jesus spoke those words at the Last Supper. In the next couple of days, he would be arrested. He would be arrested that night, spend the night being tried, would go back and forth between various leaders, ultimately would be sentenced to die by way of Roman crucifixion. He would hang on the old rugged cross for 6 hours that day as he would take upon himself our sin, our shame, our sorrows, our sickness. He would bear all of that. In offering up his life as a sacrifice, he would be the Lamb of God sacrificed for our sins. And Jesus, in his perfection, would be enough to pay the price for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole wide world. Everyone who believes can receive forgiveness from God and restoration into the family. That gift of salvation is precious to us. Not only does it change us now, but it leads us into heaven and everlasting life. And we're so grateful for that this morning. And so let us pray together and prepare to eat and drink this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this bread and this cup, pictures to us of the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. As we eat and drink today, we do so in thanksgiving and faith and gratitude. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that if there are any sick among us today, that you would impart healing even now. As we look upon the sacrifice that you have made, Lord, bring healing, Lord. Bring deliverance. Lift those who are burdened down by the cares of life. Strengthen us and renew us, we pray, O Lord. In Jesus' name, let's eat the bread together, please. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." Let's drink together, please. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And my, we are looking forward to that, to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, is coming to rescue us from the coming wrath and to redeem us into his presence forever. We're so looking forward to the coming of Jesus, seeing him face to face and experiencing his blessings and his grace forever and ever. And all the people of God said a good amen. Amen and amen. Well, before we're seated, Todd and Debbie Seaman, I see you sitting there, standing there. Come on and join us here at the front, would you please? I want to take a moment to pray a prayer of blessing over Todd and Debbie today. They've been a part of our church family since, 30 years ago. You may be seated for just a few minutes here. And Todd and Debbie have answered the call to move to Oklahoma City. You say, what is the attraction in Oklahoma City? A grandbaby. Yeah, those grandbabies, they're tough to compete with, aren't they? And Todd and Debbie, we love you guys so much. I remember when I first started as pastor and we'd sit around on your living room floor listening to the Hosanna Integrity worship albums that came out once a month. Does anybody remember those days? And we would listen, and Todd and Debbie were on the subscription and I was the cheapo preacher. And so I would go over to their house and we would sit around and listen to the newest Hosanna Integrity albums and sing and worship together. And I just want you to know, we love you guys so much. You've been such a wonderful part of our church family all these years. So faithful. And we are really going to miss you. And I just pray that Courtney and Jake, that, you know, once you're in Oklahoma City for about 6 months, that they realize they need to move to Jefferson City instead of Oklahoma City and bring you back home. You will always be family to us, and we will always be home, and we pray the Lord just blesses you richly as you make your way out. Your house sold in 3 minutes, and the Lord has opened up new opportunities for you there. I know God has already been blessing the process, and so we just are going to pray today over you that the Lord just covers you with every ounce of his blessing that you can possibly stand. And so those of you who are friends to Todd and Debbie who would want to come, well, we've got a lot of them. Come on and join around them this morning. That's not even a fair request today, because we love Todd and Debbie so much. Todd, what will we do without your whistling in our worship services? That victorious whistling that we hear in our worship service. We might be able to hear it from Oklahoma City. We'll rejoice with you when you celebrate together. And we pray the Lord's rich blessing upon you. Let's join together, friends, in agreement. Father, we thank you so much for our dear, dear friends, Todd and Debbie. Thank you, Lord, for the rich blessing they have been to this body of Christ down through these 30 plus years, Lord. Thank you, Father, that in the very beginning, Lord, they were faithful and they have remained faithful down through the years. We pray over them as they make this transition that you, Lord, you've already begun to do this, but prepare the way before them. Open every door that needs to be opened for them to experience the fullness of your plan. We pray that wherever they go, Lord, you would make them a blessing, Lord. That, Father, lead them to the right local body of believers there in Oklahoma City. Make them a blessing, we know, to their kids and their little new grandbaby there. We pray in Jesus' name that you would cover the whole process with your peace and your provision, and that, Lord, you would help them to know, even as they go from us, how much we love them, O Lord. We know that, Father, as Christians, we have the privilege of knowing we're going to be able to spend forever together in heaven, and nothing in this world can take that away from us. Thank you for that hope today, Lord. So we commit them into your hands, Lord, as they go. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, 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 and amen, amen, amen. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I've already rebuked them in my office, so I won't provide an additional rebuke in the service today. And Pastor Lisa, would you come at this time? We want to take a few moments right now. We've got a busy day today, but a good day. We want to take a few moments to pray over our youth missions team. They're going to South Dakota on Tuesday morning. And Pastor Lisa, share a little bit about what they're going to be doing on that trip, and then call the team forward, if you would, please, for prayer.
We're going to be going to Wagner, South Dakota, which is the headquarters of the Yankton Sioux tribe. And we're going to be working with the young people, especially within that missionary outreach there. And we're going to be doing a VBS for the younger children. And I've been told older children and sometimes adults come to the VBS. Just you never know who might show up. And we're also going to be repainting the parsonage and doing some other outline work, working to get the grounds ready for all the fall ministry that happens there, and working with two of the youth centers that just were able to open this year after COVID to be able to reach out to the area youth in Wagner and in another nearby city. So we're really, really happy. So all of these young people who are here today and their leaders, Rich, you too, come on up. Now, I know some of them will be in the second service. But this is some of us, and I do want to show off our shirts. Sophie Lillard designed them, and so we're pretty proud of her. Awesome. This is not all of us, but this is a portion of us. I don't know where to go from here.
All right, come on, Zach. Come on and join us. And we are praying for the Lord's blessing to rest upon. Justin, come on up here. You're on this trip as well.
And he has a shirt. He's just not wearing
Justin
it.
He has a shirt, but I told him, no, wear your long sleeve shirt today. The male employees here at First Assembly are required to wear long sleeve shirts on Sunday mornings. How many of you already knew that? Yeah, well, you knew that. We're a little OCD around here. I know, that's all right. All right, so Justin will be driving for them and providing security. Pastor Lisa, our youth pastor, will be the team leader. Dr. Rich Lillard is going in case any of them need psychological. He's our local psychologist. He'll be there in case they need counseling. All right, and State Representative Sarah Walsh is going as the team cook.
And Mark is going.
And a bunch of other teenagers are going as well. They'll be in the second service today. And so let's pray together that the Lord, let's have somebody come and lay a hand on every person in the line. Come quickly. Come quickly. We're taking a little extra time, but Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer.
Yes, yes.
So let's pray together today. Just lay a hand upon somebody, and congregation, agree together with us right now in the name of Jesus. Where's Heidi? Hand me that microphone. Dr. Presbury, lead us in prayer for the whole team. Would you please?
Lord, we just bless your name. We praise you. We thank you for our opportunity to come to you this morning. We lift up this group who will be going to carry your word. We pray that you would bless them as they go. We pray your traveling mercies and graces are with them, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you provide the word that they will take. And most importantly, we pray that people will be changed because of them.
Yes.
And we also pray, Lord, that they be changed as well, that they will get to know you in a greater way, in a better way, Lord. We just thank you for each and every one of them. We pray, Lord, for their families as they go. We pray for protection. We just give you all the glory, all the honor, and praise. And we thank you for these young people and the sponsors who will be going with them. We are so blessed, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, team. We want to send our love and our sympathy out to Trent and Darla Porter. They're on the highway, I believe, this morning and watching on the road. And yesterday I had the privilege to join Trent and Darla for Trent's mother's funeral service down in Dixon, Missouri. Get this. She was a Christian. She gave her heart to the Lord when she was 5 years old. She died this past week at 95. She lived for Jesus for 90 years. What a beautiful testimony. And what a beautiful service yesterday. So Trent and Darla, we love you this morning. We're praying God continues to bless you and cover you and just supply everything you need during this season. Pastor Bob, I know we have a couple of additional announcements. Would you come this morning, please?
All right, got a couple quick announcements that I want to throw out to you. Want to remind all the 50-plussers in the house today that your next event is coming up this coming Saturday, July the 30th. They are going to be going over to Veach Restaurant to enjoy the lunch buffet there, followed by a play at the Stained Glass Theater. Cost is $24. That takes care of everything, lunch and the play. And you need to register on Realm, which is the church app, or by calling into the office this week, and we'll get you added to the list. Second and final announcement, I want to remind everyone about our Perilous Times ministry that is coming to do a prophecy conference here at the church on Saturday, August the 6th. It's going to take place from 7:45 in the morning till 3 o'clock that afternoon. Registration is free, the cost is free, but you must register for the event, and you can do that by visiting their website, perilloustimesministry.com. Actually, there's one other quick word of announcement. I want to continue to remind you that you can give online, or you can put your giving in one of the drop boxes positioned at the back of the sanctuary. So that's it in the way of announcements. Would you stand with us once more as Heidi and the worship team comes and leads us?
Bob, Pastor Bob. Well, I have a microphone on, so I'll just say, I did have. I believe there's registration for that prophecy conference in the lobby today and next Sunday as well, if you'd like to sign up in that direction.
Sweetest friend.
Chapter 15, verse 13, for our opening verse of scripture together today, as we come to our final sermon in this series entitled Summer Splash. We've talked about peace like a river and joy like a fountain, love like an ocean last Sunday morning. Today, our title is Hope Like a Hurricane. How many of you sometimes need the Lord to come rushing into your life with good news? And that's what we're going to talk about today, the good news of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. A hopeful heart is a happy heart. Everybody knows that. Hope is the expectation of good things to come. Hope says tomorrow will be a better day, right? Hope is confidence about the future. It's assurance of coming blessings. Hope is the forecast of fair weather, someday at least. And hope is light at the end of the tunnel. There's a lot of darkness in this world, and we need the light of Jesus in a dark world. Isn't that right? And Jesus offers hope. Hope is powerful to its owner. Hope revives us when we feel weary and worn out. Hope refreshes us in the midst of tough times and redirects us when we get bogged down and get our eyes focused on the trouble in front of us. Hope drives away dread and despair and gives us something to look forward to. Hope pulls us, it entices us into the future. I've heard people say at times, I feel like I have nothing to live for. That is hopelessness. But when we understand that there is something and somebody to live for, and that God's promises are going to prevail for us today and tomorrow and beyond tomorrow, then we can wash our faces and shake ourselves a little bit and rise up and keep on going because we have hope in the Lord for good days to come. Hope. Today's blessing from the book of Romans is that we would be filled with hope, full of hope. But even more than that, this blessing is about overflowing with hope, flooded with hope. That's why I call this hope like a hurricane, besides the fact that, the letters worked out right. Hope like a hurricane, because hope is something that can just flood our lives in a moment and an instant through the power of the Holy Spirit and through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope that overflows. Remember what David wrote in the 23rd Psalm? He said, my cup runneth over. All of you King James people I see operating in the place. My cup runneth over. My cup overflows. That means I have enough to fill me up and even more. And that's the hope that we're talking about from the scriptures today. That's the blessing on the table before us. The blessing of overflowing hope, being able to look forward, even in a junky, hurting, broken, wounded world, sometimes a gloomy world, and declare better days are a-coming. My favorite professor in seminary many years ago, I've talked about him many times through the years, Dr. Stanley Horton, was a scholar and a spiritual statesman. He was an expert in biblical languages and ancient history. And every book Dr. Horton signed, when you'd buy one of his books, he would write a note in the front cover, a note of blessing to so many of his students. Every card he sent, every note he penned was stamped with the reference of the scripture that we're looking at today. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May you overflow with hope. Dr. Horton knew that amidst all of his theological research and dissertation and pontification, that what every Christian desperately needs in this dark world is the hope of Jesus Christ. Not just light at the end of the tunnel, but light in the middle of the tunnel. So that the light of Jesus and the forecast of Jesus comes flooding into our lives in the midst of this world. And so from this little scripture this morning, I want us to consider together five pieces to this hope-filled life that the author of Romans, the Apostle Paul, blesses us with today. Now, I see the clock up there, so don't get concerned. I know that some of you are thinking, because of the clock, he will abbreviate. Don't worry about that. I want you to get your money's worth when you come to church on a Sunday morning. So let's take a few moments this morning and talk about the hope that is set before us today in the scriptures. Number one, let's talk about the author of hope. The author of hope. Paul begins this blessing by declaring, may the God of hope. Everybody say, God is the God of hope. Now, there are many words we apply to God and his nature and his working with us, but one of the chief attributes of God that works for us is that he is the God of hope. He is the creator of hope. He's the instigator of hope. God is the God of hope. How is that true in the scriptures? Well, first of all, we note from the scriptures that God is the God of promise. He's the God of promise. Now, if you know what a promise is, you know that when you receive a promise, you do not yet have the fulfillment of that thing, but you have a word that it is coming. If someone says, I'll gladly pay you, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a cheeseburger today, then you may part with the cheeseburger and look forward to the coming payment on Tuesday. And many of you know what it is to wait on promises to be fulfilled. How many of you believe that God is a God who keeps his promises? Well, we believe that today. In fact, that's how God functions with the human race. He functions by promising things to his people. Before there's ever a promise, God is a God of planning. God is a God of planning and promise. He plans and he promises. His promises reveal his planning. You'll recognize this verse. We mentioned it last Sunday, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And God knows that. Without going into the context of that word in the prophet Jeremiah, we understand that in general about God, he knows what's ahead for us. And he makes promises to us accordingly. He is a God who says, this is going to take place. I'm going to provide this for you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to open this door before you. This is the path that you're going to take as you follow me. God is the God of promise. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, God has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, we may be able to participate in the divine nature. So all of these promises God gives us are promises about something better than what we have had or what we have right now. Everybody say, God is the God of a better future. That's the truth. God is the God of promise. What makes him the author of hope is not only that he promises, but that God is the God of power and possibility. Luke chapter 18, verse 27, Jesus said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And Abraham said, according to Abraham believed, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4, that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Sometimes people promise things and they can't fulfill their promises. That's a recipe for trouble. But when God makes a promise, he is the God of absolute possibility, and he is the God who is able to fulfill every promise. Thirdly, he's the author of hope because he's the God of performance. Not only has he promised many things, but he has already accomplished many things for us. Listen to the words of Psalm 66. Come and see what God has done. How awesome are his works on man's behalf. God has already, in fact, God has already fulfilled many promises that he has made to us down through the years of our lives. He has promised, he has fulfilled, he has promised, he has performed, he has promised, he has kept his promise, and the God who has kept his promises thus far is the God who's going to continue to keep his promises into the future. The fourth reality about this God of hope is that not only is he the God of promise and power and possibility and performance, but he is the God of perpetuity. Everybody say the word perpetuity. What does that mean? That means God is going to be here forever. Okay? Perpetuity means that he's going to be here in an ongoing nature into the future. You know, if you bought life insurance from a company that ultimately goes out of business, how many of you know that's bad news? Okay? Because maybe that life insurance company didn't last long enough to fulfill its promise. And that may be true about human promises as well. We may promise things, but we don't live long enough, perhaps, to fulfill all of our promises. For God, it's no big deal. God is going to live on into eternity, and he's going to live long enough. God is more than alive. He is God and the author of life. And he will be around to fulfill every promise he has ever made. So he's the author of hope. God can speak into your life and say something about the future, and you can take it to the bank because he's the God of hope. He's the author of hope. Secondly, from this promise, look with me at the aspects of hope. How does Paul describe this hope and the things which accompany hope? Well, here's what Paul writes. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. Everybody say with me, all joy, all peace, overflowing hope. All right, these are the three ingredients combined in this promise. First is this permeating peace. May the God of hope fill you with all peace. Philippians 4:7 describes it. We looked at it at length a few weeks ago as a peace that transcends understanding. It's no surprise that hope would be accompanied by peace and joy, right? If you know that tomorrow is going to be a good day, has anybody here ever dreaded tomorrow? Anybody ever here, you went to bed at night thinking, oh, tomorrow's going to be a rough day. Have you ever felt that? Oh, I have felt that at times. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to have to confront some things that I don't want to have to deal with. Tomorrow is going to be a difficult day. But if all of your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted when you go to bed and you think about tomorrow and you think tomorrow's going to be a good day, I don't have anything to worry about, then you can go to bed with peace, right? And you can even go to bed with joy, a permeating peace, a jubilant joy. May the Lord fill you with all joy and peace. This sense of contentment and happiness about your lot in general and about what the future looks like. Permeating peace, jubilant joy, and overflowing optimism. So that Paul says, I want you to overflow with hope. 2 Corinthians 1:10, Paul writes about the Lord, on the Lord we have set our hope. that he will continue to deliver us. Paul says, the Lord's already delivered us, and we're believing and trusting and banking on him that he's going to continue to deliver us. Think about this, dear friends. What if you believed about God, and I'm confident many of you do, what if you believed about God, well, God is going to take care of me whatever happens? That's a pretty general statement, but what if you really believed that to the core of your being? I believe many of you do, because you're children of God. You've grown accustomed to your relationship with God. I believe you really are confident. What if we really believed to the core of our being, well, whatever happens, God is going to take care of me. I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to worry about. Tough times may come, yeah, but they're no challenge for God. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything I could ever think or imagine. And so whatever might happen in this world, God's going to take care of me. That is an overflowing optimism about God. That said, God is going to, he's going to take care of me. He's going to be good to me. He's going to fulfill his plan for my life. Nothing in this world is going to stop God's plan for my life. God is the one in charge, and he's going to cover me and keep me. And that doesn't mean nothing bad is ever going to happen, but certainly means that I'm going to pull through. Yeah. And I'm going to pull through this life. As a child of God, listen to me. As a child of God, I am confident that I'm going to make it through this life and into the next life. Amen? Titus 3:7 says, having been justified by his grace, we have become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So our hope moves throughout the days of the future in this life and into the eternal life ahead of us. Now, somebody here might say, well, Pastor, I'm just a natural pessimist. Well, that's why you need more than your old natural self. Are you here? Sometimes we excuse things away. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, that's why Jesus came to change you. Yeah, right? Anybody here ever need to be changed by the Lord? Sure we do. And so sometimes people say, well, I'm just a realist. Which by that they really mean I'm just a pessimist. No, that's why we need God's hope to change all of that. Our hope ultimately holds to our assurance of everlasting life. Paul even wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, which will be our study a couple of Wednesday nights from now, Paul wrote, if it's only in this life that we have hope in Christ Jesus, we become really miserable. But the reality is, beyond this life are the promises of God for his children. So hope is powerful in our lives. And Paul says, I want your hope to overflow. The author of hope, the aspects of hope. Thirdly, think about the avenue to hope in this little promise we have from Romans 15, 13. Here's what Paul writes. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him. The key to hope here is grabbing a hold of this principle right here. We've got to trust in the Lord if we're going to overflow with hope. If we don't trust the Lord, that means we fear, we worry. We count on other sources other than the Lord before the Lord. And we don't really believe God's going to take care of us. But as we trust in the Lord, we move toward this hope. Think about trusting the Lord today. I encourage you this morning to trust his love for you. Last Sunday morning, we talked about love like an ocean that is high and wide and deep and long. And we just reminded ourselves last Sunday morning that God really does love us through the thick and the thin. And the ultimate gauge of that was his sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. He paid the highest price in the universe to bring us into his family. Don't you know that means we are precious to the Lord? Trust his love. John wrote in 1 John 3 verse 1, how great is the Father, is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. We're children of God. Trust his love. Number two, as we trust him, we've got to trust his labor and his litigation, his legal work. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. What the Lord Jesus has accomplished for us was accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. So that because of what Jesus has done, we could be fully justified through the work of Jesus Christ. Do you believe Jesus is the best lawyer? Yeah, and Jesus was our mediator. He is our mediator. He was our atoning sacrifice for sin. He paid the price. God worked out the details. God left no stone unturned. He left no sin uncovered. When Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for our sins, he paid the price in full. Say this with me. Jesus is enough. And as we trust his labor and litigation for us, we just come to the conclusion, God loves me enough that he's done all this work and he's done enough for me to be saved and have all of these promises that he has put before me. Trust his love, trust his labor and litigation. Thirdly, we've got to trust his lordship and leading. As he continues to lead us in life, we trust that he has the best in mind for us, that his ways are the right ways. You know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths or make your paths straight. As we trust the Lord, we say, well, I'm going to go God's way. That's part of trusting him. Amen? And fourthly, trusting the Lord means trusting his long look, that he knows the future. And as he makes promises about the future, even things that we cannot imagine, God has already seen and known with his long look into the future. In fact, there's no time with God. He reigns over all of that. He understands that he has created a human race that lives in a temporal fashion. We are living today and tomorrow and the next day, and there is a yesterday for us and there is an eternity for us. God understands all of that. But God is the God who, because of his nature, God sees the end from the beginning. He already knows what tomorrow will hold for us. Do you know that if you're not raptured to heaven first, do you know that the Lord already knows how you will die and make your way to heaven? Have you ever thought about that? You say, no, Pastor, I don't sit around thinking about how I'm going to die. No. Do you know that God already knows all of that? Do you know that God is the God who listen to Isaiah 46:10. I, the Lord, make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is yet to come. God says, I'm the one who tells you what's up ahead because I know. So we trust his long look. God knows what's ahead. And God can see through all of the haziness of this life in the midst of taking care of us. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes this world is so smoky and foggy and smoggy and hazy that we can't even tell what's going on. But how many of you know God has a piercing vision that sees what's going on right now? He sees what we need right now. He sees what we're going to need to make it through the night tonight. He sees into tomorrow and understands the provisions we're going to need for tomorrow. He understands what the timing and method of your departure to heaven, whenever that comes, is going to be. He has all of that in mind. Nothing surprises him. He is on the throne and fully capable and understanding. And God is the God of hope because he is able to handle past, present, and future. So we've got to trust in all of that. The author of hope, the aspects of hope, the avenue to hope is trusting the Lord. Look at me, everybody. I just encourage you even today just to declare once again, I will trust in the Lord. Some trust in horses and chariots, you know, That's an ancient scripture. Probably none of you are trusting in a horse today. That's a cultural illustration. Some trust in the things of this world, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And so we just need to make up our minds. I'm going to trust the Lord, the author of hope, the aspects of hope, the avenue to hope. Fourthly, let's think quickly about the agent of hope. Listen to how Paul quotes this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is working in this. His power is working to accomplish this reality by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? First of all, he is the indwelling Spirit. He lives within us. The Holy Spirit works in us and produces things within us. The Holy Spirit is stirring things within us. He's the indwelling Spirit. Secondly, he is the investigating Spirit. Now think about this. Look at me. If the Holy Spirit is the one who stirs up this hope, and he is living within us, then that means hope is stirred up within us. It's not something external, it's something internal. It's stirred up by the Holy Spirit. He's the indwelling Spirit. Secondly, he's the investigating Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 says, the Spirit searches all things. So he's the one who searches us and knows who we are and what we need. He sees, the Holy Spirit sees exactly what brand and level and category of discouragement you might be in right now. You believe that? He knows right where you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you've been thinking this week. He knows the doubts that you've struggled with, right? He searches all of that and knows all of that. He's the investigating Spirit. He searches all things so that he might work in our behalf. And thirdly, he is the inspiring and invigorating Spirit. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. John 16 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into all truth and show us things that we need to know. 1 Corinthians 2 says, no eye has seen or ear heard or heart imagined the things God has prepared, but God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, the Spirit gives life. The truth is the Holy Spirit living in us is the Holy Spirit who can stir things around and orchestrate things properly so that hope can be renewed and revived in our lives. Everybody say, work, Holy Spirit, work in my life. And the Holy Spirit brings that hope. Number one, the author of hope. Two, the aspects of hope. Three, the avenue to hope. Four, the agent of hope. And let's close with number five, the abundance of hope. That Paul talks about, he says, I want you to overflow with hope. I want you to be so looking forward to what God has for you that it's just like your heart is overflowing with that expectation. Notice, we can be overflowing within this everyday earthly life because the promises of God involve more than what we're going through right now. They involve what God has in store for us. And God has a lot of good things in store for us. Overflowing within this everyday earthly life and overflowing with the expectation of eternal life. Now, look up at me, everybody. Somebody might say, well, does that mean I have to get to heaven before I'm happy? No. No, God's promises are about eternal life, but the many great and precious promises he has given us enable us to share in his divine nature in the here and now. I have hope that God will take care of me today and supply my needs today, right? If I come up with a shortage, I have hope and an awareness, even based on what God's done in the past, that God will somehow work in the midst of that shortage to bring me through it, right? If I'm facing a sickness or a physical struggle, I just know God is going to supply what I need for me to get to the next place I need to get to and to do what I need to do. Ultimately, He's going to heal me. That may be in heaven, but He heals me along the way as well. Supplies everything that I need from one day to the next. God is a faithful God. And for that reason, we can experience hope about what's to come. God has a perfect plan for us. So I leave you with these three simple words of exhortation this morning. Number one, let's determine to trust the Lord wholeheartedly with today and tomorrow, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. And don't worry about today. The Lord will be enough for us. Could you say amen? Amen. Two, let's invite the Holy Spirit to flood our lives and begin to work mightily within us to stir up the things that need to be stirred up, right? Stir those things up. Holy Spirit, work within me and stir up those things, including peace, joy, and hope. And thirdly, let's allow the hope of God to fill our minds and our hearts as we trust in the Lord. And let's determine that with God on our side, tomorrow is going to be better than today. And that the path of the saved is like the shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. I love that word. The path of the just, like the shining light, shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Friends, how many of you here today, you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Lift your hand and say amen. For you, listen, for you, there is a perfect day coming. Isn't that awesome? Have you ever lived one of those? No, I haven't either. But think about that. There is a perfect day coming for us as children of God. And if there's a perfect day coming, I just believe we can enjoy every day until that day with the blessing of the Lord in our lives and with a hope that transcends every bit of gloom and doom and bad news this world has to throw at us. The light of Jesus is brighter. Would you say amen? Stand together, please. I just pray today that the Lord will fill you with hope like a hurricane. I told you last Sunday we're going to read from this prayer. I'm going to read these words from the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. Listen with me. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. I'll tell you, the Jesus we serve is a mighty Jesus. Paul says, I want your eyes to be open to all this, so that you can just be filled with a powerful hope about tomorrow and the days to come. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the privilege of being your children here today in this place. Thank you for the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus this morning. And thank you for the life that you long to stir within us today. We pray, oh God, that we would learn to trust you more completely and thoroughly, to lay everything down before you and upon you, oh Lord, in order to experience the confidence that comes from trusting you. Now, Father, I pray that if there's anybody here in this room today who has never received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they call upon you, Lord Jesus. I believe you are the Son of God. You died for my sins. I receive you now into my heart, into my life. Lord Jesus, take control of my life and be my Lord. Father, as they pray that prayer, may you touch them in a powerful way. Bring them, oh God, into a brand new future and hope for you. Jesus, you are our living hope. We thank you for these blessings, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, friends, our pastors, our prayer partners are here today at the altars and at the sides of the sanctuary. If you need prayer today, come. We'd be glad to agree together with you in prayer. Otherwise, may you go today in the peace and the joy and the hope of the Lord that endures, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go today. Amen.